I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth in chapter 2 and the verse 3, where he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. 40 years ago, to this very day, I stood for the first time before the little congregation in the Waveney Road, and I was no doubt in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And it's no different today after 40 years to come back and to face this sea of faces here in this congregation and to rejoice in what God is doing in you and through you in the work of the Lord today. I paid tribute to the ministry of Mr. Greer last night. I would like to do that again. We know that he is a man of God. We know that he is here in the will of God, and we see the evident blessing of the Lord among you as he has ministered faithfully over these last 6 years, shared in the history of this congregation, and together, like father and son almost, we rejoice in what God has done and in what God is doing. But the best is yet to come. It's good to look back, but we need to look forward and to trust God for the future. And I believe that there are greater times of refreshing and blessing for you. The same God still lives. He's still the same sovereign God. And we believe that that same God is able to come in these needy and evil days in which we live and witness for God, and do yet a greater work even than ever this town or this congregation has ever known before. It's great to be with you today in some ways, but I am here in fear and trembling, and I need your prayers, and I know that you have been praying. We trust the Lord will come, and that he will be glorified, that none will be seen save him, and that in this weekend the Lord will receive all the praise and the glory for all that he has done and for all that he has been to us over the years. It's good to look out and see a few familiar faces, a lot of new faces. It's good to see the new faces. Delighted to see the congregation building up. It's good also to see the older faces. The old friendships that were forged over many years are still the same. And it's good to be with you and to share with you. And I thank your minister, and I thank the session for their invitation to be here. And I'd also thank you for last night, for the beautiful gifts you gave to my wife and myself. That is greatly appreciated and will be greatly valued. And it means a lot to us. And we would like to thank you in the Lord's great name. Now let's turn to the Word of God. Returning this morning to the book of Joshua, to the opening chapter, chapter 1, reading at the opening verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And God will bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures to each of our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow for a moment's prayer, please. Eternal God and loving Father, we thank thee for this opportunity again of meeting with thy children here, gathering together to worship and to sit at thy feet and to open the book of God. We thank thee, our Father, for thine infinite mercy and goodness to us, for all the way that thou hast led, for all that thou hast wrought in thy sovereign plan and purpose of grace and love. And we lift up our hearts in adoration, in worship, in thanksgiving, in acknowledgement of the goodness and the greatness of our God. And humbly now we entreat thee of thy mercy to look upon us in these further moments as now we turn to thy truth. And Lord, as we would seek to bring thy word and the message on our hearts, we pray for enabling grace, for the teaching of the Spirit of God himself. For when he, the Comforter, is come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Spirit of God minister the doctrine of Christ today. May the Lord of life and King of glory be greatly magnified and exalted in our hearts. May we worship him. May our love for him be enlarged, our obedience to his word increased, and our usefulness in the work of God even know afresh the renewing and the power of thy Holy Spirit. I am trusting thee for power thine can never fail. Words that thou thyself shall give me must prevail. Give prevailing words in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention this morning to this passage from the first chapter of Joshua, and particularly to the verse marked 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And I believe the Lord has led me to this passage of Scripture and to this verse particularly for two reasons. First of all, it records a landmark in the history of the house of Israel. 40 years had passed under the ministry and leadership of the man of God, Moses. Moses has now been removed, and under the leadership of Joshua, the house of Israel face a new era in their labor and witness for God. They're standing Yes, looking back and remembering the greatness and the goodness of their God. They're remembering all the way that He has led, and no doubt giving to Him the glory, the honor and the praise. But they're also standing on the threshold of greater things. They're looking forward by faith, with the eye of faith, hearkening to the promise of God, and believing that God has even greater and more blessed things for them in the future. I believe what is written here is relevant to this 40th anniversary and to the work of God that we all love. Yes, we do look back this morning and we do rejoice in the 40 years that are gone, and again beyond that in the ministry of Pastor James Kyle Paisley. And it's good to do that and right to do that. But we cannot always live in the past. We need an up-to-date experience of the power and blessing of the Lord. And we need to take God at His word, take the promise of His word, and resting upon that promise, step forward into the future, knowing that the Lord is with us. I have also chosen this particular verse this morning because this is the particular verse that I preached on 40 years ago on the 6th of November 1966. As we then stood at the end of an era and looked forward into the future, we were, of course, small in number, as you heard last night, 30 to 40 people at the most. We had little resources, materially speaking. I was a young man, and I was inexperienced in the work of God. And we faced a tremendous challenge. And I needed a word from Him for my own heart and a word from the Lord. And the Lord led me to these verses here in Joshua chapter 1. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And today we again would come back to that promise. We have proved that truth. We have proved God to be true over these years. Now we stand on the threshold of a new era. 40, of course, is the year, is the number of probation. So we have just served our apprenticeship. We have just served our probation. And now we enter into new circumstances, into new challenges, into a world that is quickly deteriorating spiritually and morally and nationally around us. We see the results of apostasy. The apostasy that we warned about 40 years ago has now greatly developed amongst us. And we need the strength of God. We need the help of God. We need the promise of God to lean on as we go forward in His name, to lift up the standard of His glorious word and to preach Christ and Him crucified. I said that original morning. I have it down in my notes for that day. We as a church stand on the threshold of a new era, with a great heritage behind us and with a great sense of our need. And today I want just to look at these words again for a little time by way of encouragement. To seek to lift up your eyes to God, to trust Him and His word for the future, and to anticipate by faith what God can yet do, those greater things that He has reserved for them that love Him. First of all, I see here the promise of the Lord's unchanging presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And there are two things in that statement. There's a statement in regard to the past, and there's a promise in regard to the future. And you know, if you read the previous books concerning the Exodus of the children of Israel and the leadership of Moses, the man of God, you will find that this was something that was very precious to them, to know the presence of God with them. That's all that really matters when you are engaged in the work of the Lord. There may be many problems, difficulties, oppositions, mountains insurmountable, except by the fact that we know that God is with us. If we are assured of that, we can face anything. If we know the Lord, the sovereign God of all the earth, is in the midst of his children, there is no mountain too high to climb. There is no river too deep to cross. There is nothing that God's people, under God's blessing, cannot attain to in the spiritual things of the Lord. And Moses was concerned that he would have the presence of God. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, and you look there at verse 12. Here's the Lord coming to his meek and mild servant Moses, feeling his own inadequacies and weaknesses as he's now called to lead the people of God into deliverance and out of the clutches and bonds of Egypt. And the Lord says to him, and he said, "Certainly I will be with thee." And Moses proved that over the coming 40 years. In days of darkness, in days of sunshine, in days when, humanly speaking, he might well be in despair, God was faithful to that word. "Certainly, I will be with thee." But there were times, of course, when the sense of the presence of the Lord was necessarily removed from the midst of Israel. If you look, for instance, at Exodus chapter 33, and look there in the verse 7, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7, we read here of an incident in the life of Moses' leadership when the people of God forfeited the sense of God's presence. And it was a disaster. It was a sad and solemn day for them. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. Now, the tabernacle of the Lord was always in the center of the camp of Israel. And the Lord was pleased to come down in the Shekinah glory and visitation and demonstrate the fact that he was in the midst of his people. But here it is removed. The temple is taken down and removed from the midst of the camp, and it's directed in a certain place without the camp. Why was that? Well, the answer is very evident if you read the previous chapter. Israel had grievously sinned against the Lord. We read there in verse 7, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." And the most evil permissiveness had entered in among the people, and they forfeited this great blessing, the presence of God in the midst. I want you to see what happened. The Lord removed himself from their midst to that place outside the camp. Outside the camp. Those words are very significant. When we look at professed Christendom today, we see that very evident. We see that the Lord, who once dwelt in the major denominations in a gracious and glorious way in the days of our fathers and our forefathers, Now the Lord has removed himself from their midst because sin has entered in, religious sin, departure from God, departure from the rule of faith and practice, from the inspired scriptures, things that have grieved God, and God has removed himself from the midst of the ecclesiastical camp of professed Christendom. We need to recognize that. Because if we are going to worship the Lord aright, where must we find ourselves? Where did Israel rightly worship the Lord? It wasn't in the camp where corruption and sin had entered in. It was outside the camp. God called his people 40 years ago outside the camp. God is still calling his people to worship God in accordance with the scriptures, in accordance to the mind and will of God. Where does he call his people to? He calls us outside the camp. You will remember, of course, over there in Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 13, the exhortation of the apostle, "Let us go forth therefore." And he makes that great plea on the ground of the cross. A man or woman that lives near the cross, that knows something of the power and the fullness and the obedience of that cross in his life, will be open to instruction and will be obedient to the call of God. And God said, let us go forth therefore unto him. We are not separating unto the denomination. We are separating unto the Lord, unto him. Where is he? Without the camp, bearing his reproach. And God calls his people out. I remember the old pastor in the Waverley Road when I was a young Christian before entering the ministry. And he once said, he says, coming out. I have been coming out of things all my life. And you know, God's people need to be always checking where they are. We need to be always bringing our lives into alignment with the Word of God. And we need to depart from evil. We need to walk in the light. We need to be obedient to God's Word. If we're to know the presence of God, if we're to know the blessing of the Lord, there needs to be this holy obedience in our hearts and lives. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and you will see an incident here that demonstrates the sad disaster when the Lord departs. If you look in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, verse 11, here's the background to it. The ark of God was taken. And the ark of God was the symbol of the dwelling place of God amongst his people. And the ark of God was taken. Look at verse 21. Here's the daughter-in-law of Eli. It says, she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Why was it taken? Why had they come to this sad and solemn place? Because there was sin in the camp. And the sin had robbed them of the sense of the blessing and the presence of the living God in the midst of his people. But right down through the lifetime and leadership of Moses, coming back now to Exodus and back to Joshua, the Lord was pleased to manifest his presence for 40 years, bring them through to the threshold of the land, renewing the promise again and again to them, "Certainly I will be with thee." And now Moses is dead. The era past is closed. A new vista of challenge opens up before the people. The land of promise, covenant promise, lies before them. And God renews the promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And God had not only had just given that promise, and he immediately begins to manifest it and to realize it amongst people. If you look at Joshua chapter 3 and the verse 1, we see the Joshua and the people facing the first great test. This was new ground. It says in verse 4 of chapter 3, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." They were facing the unknown to a certain extent, a way that they had never come before. The whole scene of Israel's life was now to be dramatically changed. The wilderness was left behind them. The manna ceased. A new manner of life, a new challenge in this great land before them, faced them. The problems, the disappointments, the discouragements were evident. But God was the same. The promise remains. "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." And we see here the great challenge that opens up before them. If you look at chapter 3 and the verses 10, and these are the verses I want you to think about for a moment. Here's the first great challenge to Joshua's leadership and to the taking of new ground for God and of going forward, thanking God for the past, but looking to the future. He says, "Hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will not without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." Joshua said, "Hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you." And that is all that matters when we face the challenges of a new era. To know that the living God is among you. "The Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." Brethren and sisters, we can take courage in that word tonight. For that same God is living today. He's the same living God. In all his glorious Godhead and attributes, in all his infinite holiness, in all his almighty power, in all his unchanging, unfailing grace, ministered to us in the covenant of redemption and salvation in Christ, he remains the same. And whatever challenges lie ahead of this church and the work of God in this place, here is something that is most precious to his people, that we know that the living God is among us. I look back over the past 40 years. I think of the situation that faced us 40 years ago, and I look at today and I see such tremendous changes. I often say I would not like, as a young man or a young minister of the gospel, to be starting again in this present age and generation in which we live. And I suppose that's because I'm an old man now. I was young, maybe things would be different. How great the changes have been. What a sad deterioration in the moral state of this land and nation. What a great departure. Oh, we talked about a great departure, a great apostasy in 1966. Oh, it's nothing in comparison to what we look at today. And you know, as we look forward and we think about the coming 40 years, I wonder what changes will come. Here we are today in a land and nation steeped in immorality, godless, to a large extent, apart from the remnant testimony that God has preserved in mercy. Sodomy, another lifestyle. Abortion, just another surgical procedure. The Bible scoffed at and rejected. Here we're living in a day of civil partnerships accepted by the church. The Lord's Day desecrated and destroyed. And I wonder as I look forward and I think of the coming years, if the Lord tarries and has not come in His glorious advent, what will it be like in 40 years from now? There are great challenges. Satan, the powers of Antichrist, the forces of hell already abroad are going to increase. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What is our anchor? What stays the people of God, fortresses up our faith today? What encourages us to persist and to go forward, to trust God, to look to Him for blessing? It's this very fact. The Lord's presence is in the midst of His people. The Lord is with us. The living God is among you. And that is something that we ought to guard with our lives. For if we lose the presence of God, we'll have lost everything in regard to the future of the work of the Lord. I think it was Luther who said in regard to Psalm 46, best of all, that God is with us. And we can recount many blessings of 40 years. We stand in great need as now God calls us into the possessions, into the purchased possessions, into all that He has promised in the covenant. It was so here with Joshua. But there is one thing that remains fixed. The eternal, sovereign God who reigns and rules. The one who is the great head and king of the church. The one who has said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Take courage in the word of God this morning. Take courage in the Lord today. If you're like me, you'll feel your weakness. There are times you wonder how you can go forward as a true and holy witness for God in the quagmire of this immoral world. And you will feel your weakness. But there is strength, there is wisdom, there is power, there is might, there is victory in God. The unchanging God remains the same. What changes do I see as I look around me in this meeting this morning? Faces are with us no longer. Men that I loved who stood four square with me in the gospel have gone to their glorious reward. You young people, you must fill in the places. You must stand in with the people of God. You must fill up those empty places. Go forward knowing the presence of the Lord. Our time is gone. Let me say just one or two other things. We have not only the promise of His unfailing presence, we have also here the promise of the Lord's unfailing power. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. How fitting that was to the years of Joshua and the people. You see, out of the millions who had come out of Egypt, only two men had ever been in the land of Canaan. One was Joshua the faithful. The other was Caleb the follower. And Numbers 14 there records for us that day when they stood 40 years prior to this at the same place at Kadesh Barnea. And they sent out the spies. And 10 of them returned with a sad report, but two of them looked with the eye of faith beyond the giants and saw the glory and the majesty of God. And those are the only two men that remain now as they stand again on the brink of Jordan. And I believe that these words therefore were specially sweet to the ears of Joshua. He was going to see the promise fulfilled, what God had given in covenant. He was going to see now God realizing it, opening up the land, destroying their enemies, and enabling them to take ground for God. And this word was so true and so necessary. There'll be a man that'll be able to stand before you. That was the promise of victory. That was the promise that there would be power to resist and overcome every satanic plan to impede their progress and to turn them back in defeat and in sadness of heart. But you know, there was a great promise given here of power, but there's a condition, and I want you to look at that condition before I close. There was a promise of power, promise of His presence, promise of good success, promise of prosperity, but there's a condition, brethren and sisters. There's a condition here. It says, only be thou strong, verse 7, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And Israel had a rule of faith and practice. There was a book of the law. There was the commandment of God. There was the mind of the Lord revealed to them. And God says here to them, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. There was to be no deviating from the word of God to the right hand or to the left. They were to adhere to the straight line of truth. They were called to obey the word of God. And if we are to experience the presence and the blessing and the power of God in our church witness for Him, then there must be no deviating from the straight line of truth, from the preaching of the word. God has given you a preacher. There's not a man I know could stand where this man stands. God has given you a preacher. Support him. Pray for him. Thank God for him. Thank God for the gifts that the Lord has given him. And I rejoice in what God has done these last 6 years. Why has He done it? Because God has given you a faithful preacher of the word. A man who preaches the word. And I believe as God's servant continues to preach the word, then you must obey the word. You must obey the word. Tommy used to say, and I miss his presence this morning, to be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. That's a sermon in itself. Dear friend, do you desire the blessing of God in your own life? Do you desire the blessing of God upon the witness of the gospel in this church and across this province? Do you want to see the work of the Lord expanded and new ground taken, the apostasy frustrated, Satan destroyed, and his works in this land? Do you want to see God moving in revival, power, and blessing? Then obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. I have no other message for you. It's the old-fashioned message. There's no shortcuts to God's blessing. There's no shortcuts to revival. Oh, may God cause us with a humble heart to follow Him, to love His word, to obey it, and to observe it. And finally, there's the promise of God's unlimited progress. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given thee. It's the desire of every servant of God, and of the children of God generally, that God will give them blessing. God will give them new grounds. God will give them enlargement. We want enlargement. And God is signally giving you enlargement here. But there's greater things ahead. There's more ground, much more ground to be possessed. There's a great battle to fight. There's a stand to take. There's a work to be done. Are we ready and willing to obey God in order that we might see that enlargement? You remember what Jabez says. He was more honorable than his brethren. And he prayed for enlargement. Enlargement. And you need to pray for enlargement. Enlargement spiritually. In the love and obedience and sacrifice and supplication and commitment of our hearts. Enlargement evangelically in reaching out to the regions beyond. In reaching out with the gospel to needy men and women. Enlargement numerically. The Lord adding daily to His church such as should be saved. What blessed promises these are. They have been dear to my heart. I often went back to them in days of difficulty in those 40 years. I leave them with you again this morning. But I ask the question today, was God true to His word? Was God faithful to His word? Well, if you look over there in Joshua chapter 23 and the verse 14, the answer's clear. And I leave this with you. It's my testimony this morning. Here's Joshua at the end of the battle, at the end of the road. And he says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." We have a covenant-keeping God. Great is His faithfulness. New every morning are His mercies, unchanging and unchangeable. And as we have proved His promise to be true in the past, so we will prove it in the future. As together we go forward in obedience to His will, prayerfully on our knees, seeking the help and the grace of the Lord continually. May God bless these few thoughts to our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.
Our God and our Father, we bow together before Thee and we give Thee thanks for the word which Thou didst give Thy servant to bring to this congregation. And we praise Thee for the God of whom we have heard. And we rejoice today in everything that has been revealed to us in the Scriptures concerning who He is and what He does for His people, what He means to them. And Lord, we pray this day that Thou wilt give us hearts to love Thee and to follow Thee and to be faithful to Thee. We're glad, O God, that Thou dost never change in any fashion or in any way. But we confess that we change. And O Lord, we cry to Thee to forgive us and to cleanse us from our failure and our mutability. And O Lord, come and strengthen us to be more faithful to Christ and to His cause and to the gospel in days to come. Lord, we pray that Thou indeed wilt take us forward. And Thou wilt, O Lord, open up the way before us that Thou wouldst have for us. And may we go forward beneath the hand of God and by the power of God. And know times of refreshing and blessing and power in days ahead. Abide with us. Bless us now as we come to the close of this meeting, and keep us under Thy wing throughout the afternoon, and bring us back this evening, and bless Thy servant as he again preaches, and may Thy power be upon us in a very real and marvellous way. Spread Thy covering wings around, till all our wanderings cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, the souls of Thy people shall all arrive in peace. We pray this in Christ's name. And for Christ's sake, amen. Amen.